bags, volleyball, and plenty of TVs, it's the perfect atmosphere for the summer. The fun starts every morning at 11 a.m., and you can still take advantage of the full menu with carryout orders. We'll see you at Top Shooters, 531 Old State, Route 3 in Columbia, Illinois.
Royal Banks of Missouri is all about convenience for you. Where else will you find extended drive-up hours until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 2 p.m. on Saturday? You're busy, and now you have a bank with the flexibility your schedule needs. What was that about convenience? Sign up for Royal Banks of Missouri mobile banking system, and rates are down. Refinance your home mortgage. Finance that next vacation with a home equity line of credit, or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. Their business is essential to your comfort and safety, so Design Air will continue to offer services for emergency repair, installation, and preventative maintenance while taking all of the recommended precautions to eliminate physical contact. For more information on air purifiers, please visit designairservice.com. And for all of your heating and air conditioning needs, contact the official HVAC company of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Design Air Heating and Cooling.
Looking for the most unique grocery store in St. Louis? That's easy. Star Specialty Grocer, located on Big Bend, one block north of Highway 40. This Richmond Heights treasure has been a part of the St. Louis community since 1979. Stars offers a wine selection second to none, with selections across price points, a unique selection of liquor, varieties of cheeses from around the world, fresh wild seafood flown in daily, and prime beef raised by local farmers. The employees pride themselves on product knowledge and customer service. They're open if you want to stop by or call them to place an order at 314-781-2345. That's 314-781-2345. You can browse beforehand, check out the staff's picks, and then put in your order online at starrs1.com. Remember, for the best in beef, seafood, liquor, and wine, visit Star Specialty Grocer on Big Bend. And be sure to tell them 590 sent you. The Village Bar, now open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup. If you have a large order, we will deliver. Our quart-size chili is also available to feed the entire family. We're located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
We all know local restaurants and food producers have been hit hard recently. As one of the few places still open, Schnucks is committed to supporting those local companies that need help from all of us right now. In an effort to support them, Schnucks is bringing in more food from local restaurants and food producers than they normally would. As a local food company themselves, Schnucks knows they can help. That's why Schnucks is asking you to please consider local food when you shop at Schnucks. Schnucks, a local company supporting local companies.
Getting a home loan should be a fun experience. Whether you're refinancing to lower your monthly payment and get some cash out, or you're buying the home of your dreams, it's an exciting time. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Your home and chimney must be sealed to prevent freeze and thaw damage to bricks and mortar joints. Sealing these areas reduces the need for costly repairs if damage has not yet occurred, allowing water, mold, and insects into the home and chimney results in the need for tuck pointing. Call Approved Home Improvements for your tuck pointing and sealing needs today. Now offering 25% off all tuck pointing services completed by June 30th. Call now to receive this offer. 314-780-6080.
On this side of the law,
my good buddy Johnny
Cash.
On
that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for,
personal friend.
I thought we were doing a...
Well, we are.
Yeah, that's my fault.
Oh,
but that's okay, because there are no... See, ladies and gentlemen, every Thursday, as we get toward the end, and I get emails from people, I try to get through. Anybody who calls right now, certainly the first three people, you will get through to Scott Sherman, because the lines are open. And while Dan waits for you, I will do some First Community Credit Union business. So here are the numbers. 314-821-0590. I'll do that again. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. Scott Sherman co-hosts... See, the plural of host, that's a tough thing to say. Co-hosts, that's not even a plural, it's a verb, with Dan Strauss every Saturday morning, the yard sale. The yard sale is brought to you by First Community Credit Union. If you missed the yard sale last Saturday, I think you missed a really, really good yard sale, because now that it's the new and improved yard sale, it's not just people selling things. It's 4 people an hour. That's our limit to sell things. You can sell as many as 3 items. That's each hour. And part of what he did the first hour was explain the whole Juneteenth thing to people, and I listened to it and I thought, wow, that's the greatest explanation of Juneteenth I've ever heard. Now I know what it is, I know what it means, and that's because Scott did it during the yard sale, which, as you can tell by that story, is not just selling and buying, but that's still included. And again, the most important thing is that it's sponsored entirely by First Community Credit Union. It's a place to bank. It's a great place to bank. When you talk to people who bank there and do their banking there and ask them why, usually they'll have a story about mortgage or car loan. That's what got them there. They shopped around and nobody, and this is a very common theme and a story that you'll hear often from members, is they shopped around and no one could match the mortgage rate of First Community Credit Union. My daughter and her husband bought a house. They closed a couple of weeks ago. They're getting real close to moving in once they put the finishing touches on some paint and whatever. I didn't know until about 3 weeks ago that they got that house with nothing down. I said, and a tremendous rate. And I said, how is that possible? And then she proceeds to explain to me about a first home buyer's thing. At first, great deal. Rates are at a 30-year low. 30 years. So if you're shopping for a home, I would think this would be a great time to do it, but be smart. Go after the lowest interest rate you can get from a reputable, credible lender, and that would be First Community Credit Union. Over 40 locations, largest credit union in the St. Louis area. I think you'll really be glad that you shifted your banking business from wherever it is to First Community Credit Union. If you want to know more, go to firstcommunity.com. Please welcome Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank.
Good job Saturday on the Juneteenth thing.
We love doing stuff like that on the yard sale. History.
Well, no other yard sale can compete, and if you're ready to help people, we're ready to let you.
Absolutely ready.
Let's start with Bill. Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I am
good. Uh-oh. There we go. We got you back. We lost you there, Bill. Your signal got stepped on. We got you now. What do you got?
I said I'm AM in the PM.
Oh, we didn't hear that. Hallelujah. Gotta hear that. What's up?
How could you miss that? So, my wife was in a car that was in an accident about 3 months ago. Been working with both insurance companies. How important is it to get a lawyer involved? She's got some back issues now.
Can I ask a question? When you said my wife was in a car that was in an accident, that was she driving? Was she a passenger? Was it her car?
She was a passenger. She was a passenger.
Okay. She was in the car. Somebody else was driving. Was it the driver's fault that she was in the car?
It was the other driver's fault. A teenage girl turned out of subdivision, clipped the rear end, bounced him around pretty good over a curb and stuff.
Okay, so now that we know your wife was a passenger in somebody else's car, your question again is, does she need a lawyer? Why would you want to know if she needs a lawyer? Was she hurt badly?
She got a back injury, apparently, that's continuing to cause her pain and numbness in her leg and her fingers.
All right. Scott, what do you think?
I think so. But then again, this is the kind of stuff I do. So I don't want to be flippant about it, but not having a lawyer when you're injured in a car wreck is kind of like cutting your own hair. And with the COVID, a lot of people have been cutting their own hair. It's a haircut, but it's a settlement, but it doesn't seem to turn out the way people want it when they have a professional doing it. And in addition to just the amount of the settlement, and insurance companies can fix a lot of that by offering people reasonable amounts when they're pro se or by themselves. And some do.
Hold on, stop. We just learned something. Pro se?
Pro se.
That's
on
Latin.
Your
that
own.
Would be Latin. Right?
We'll put this on our list of Latin and other legal terminology.
Pro se
by yourself.
Okay.
For instance, if you go to court, you don't have a lawyer, you are...
Pro se.
That is correct.
Okay.
So not only is it the dollar amount, the gross amount that they kind of short people on, it's really about the net. And that's really a lot of this. There are a lot of factors, including when you have health insurance, is that an ERISA plan that is not really health insurance that you have to maybe pay back and don't know about it? Are you really done treating? Have you gone to the best doctors to make sure you're as good as you're going to be? And also some of the stress. These adjusters are very smart people, and I tease them a lot, but they're very good at what they do. And what they like to do is move files as fast as they can for the least amount possible. No problem with that. What lawyers should be doing with their clients is doing, as a fiduciary, the best thing for their client, not just in the short term, but the long term. So I'm biased in the sense that this is the kind of stuff I do for a living, and I would love to be able to talk to Bill's wife. But I would say, as a general rule, even if you had no interest in talking to me about this ever, that definitely talk to a lawyer who specializes. I know they say, they don't specialize. Yeah, they do. Specializes in this kind of stuff to make sure before this case is over, whether she does it herself or you guys do it or have a lawyer, that they've at least talked to one to have them explain where all the landmines are on this road to recovery.
And having an attorney, Bill, doesn't mean that you're a guy that goes, well, we're going to sue somebody. Because
no.
She was, what it means is you now have protection from getting screwed over just in case your wife, right, Scott?
That's
really,
right.
Really,
and let me give you some statistics, because here's what the TV lawyers suck at, besides showing their face, and then you never get to talk to that person usually. This. They don't tell you that 90% of cases never get filed if they settle. That doesn't mean they're so easy. That's just the numbers game. And of those 10% that do get filed, 50% or 60% of those get settled before a jury's impaneled. So very few cases actually go to court. And here's what I do in my contracts, just so you know. For most people, unless it's a catastrophic case where a wrongful death case, somebody's in a coma, something where there's absolutely no reason to wait to file suit, we write in the contract, this case will not be filed unless both parties, the lawyer and the client, agree in writing prior to the suit filing. So some lawyers, you know, they get a higher fee for filing suit. This kind of stuff, what I do, prevents people from even being able to be dragged into court and have their name on CaseNet or be involved in that. So I'm not saying the way I do it is the perfect way, but I want people, when I have them as clients, as know as much as humanly possible, and they end up knowing more than most lawyers, and some of them don't like that, but I try to educate them to the point where they know everything about this, that before they get involved in something like this, what to expect, how long to expect it, sometimes and usually it's longer. But Missouri has a 5-year statute of limitations. Are you in Missouri, Bill?
Yes.
Crashes in Missouri? Okay. 5-year statute from the day it happened for people that are over 21. So, take your wife's over 21. There's tons of time to get it resolved right without being forced into a decision on going to court. And then that decision, hypothetically, would not even be something the lawyer could make or the client without agreeing. So, for people that say, I don't want to sue anybody, almost all cases that are these kinds of cases are never actual lawsuits. They're claims, but that is a great point that Frank makes, and it's something that I think is it's sort of become a wives' tale. Oh, I don't want to sue anybody. You're not suing anybody.
Yeah, it's about protection for you. And Bill, a couple of quick things I'd like to say. One, since you're AM and the PM, I'm going to assume you're a pretty upstanding guy, and you're not just looking to sue somebody to grab some money because you're going to claim and fake that your wife is really hurt. You've already said she was hurt a little, and it may not be bad, but it also might be, and you don't know until another few months go by. That's the reason. And by the way, and Scott would back me up on this, do not, because they'll ask you to, sign anything, right?
Scott? That's correct. Yeah. And don't give a stip, since she is the passenger, she's an innocent victim here. Drivers, both the, even the easiest, simplest at-fault rear-end collision cases, drivers in Missouri have a between 0 and 100% possibility of being liable. Passengers have a 0% chance of being liable. Yeah. So there is no reason and no obligation for your wife to give a statement to either of these insurance companies, because all that can do later, unless it's a fact witness to help out the driver in the car she was in their dispute, those statements are completely misconstrued, and they are done on purpose. And to my insurance company adjuster friends, yes, you do spin and twist people's words that they don't mean.
Not all of them. We don't want to alienate all the adjusters, but it happens. Just like it, with the cops that we've seen, there are some that shouldn't be cops.
I have something to add to this a little bit.
And now here's Dan Strzok.
I know. Thank you, Frank. But this actually happened to your wife, correct? That you guys settled pretty quick before she
knew? Bill, we were young and stupid and made a horrible mistake by signing and settling. And we were very young, and to us, $5,000 was all the money in the world. It was a fortune. And we found out later, and she was hit from behind, sitting at a stoplight by a commercial truck. My wife now, over the years, has had 3 spinal fusions. Each one is a 1-year recovery. She has a metal cage around her spine and 12 titanium screws in her spine. And it all started with the accident that we signed off on and settled for $5,000. That's what you don't want to do, just in case there's permanent damage, as was the case with her. So we got to move.
And valuation. Yeah. Clients have no idea what the value of a case is, and sometimes lawyers don't either. And until it's really investigated and the medical is all complete, you don't know. And that's why it's calm down, wait. And if you do want to talk to a lawyer, great. Great idea.
All right, we got to move along. Bill, if you need more advice or recommend, do you have Scott's email address?
I believe I do. It's the law offices of Scott.
No, no, no. There's no the in there, and it's not plural. Tell him, Scott.
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
All right. Good luck, Bill.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. There is a line open because Bill has been helped. 314-821-0590. If that doesn't work, try 855-282-8255. I should see that line light up and blink any moment. Somebody smart will call it. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. And most importantly, guys, I am AM in the...
That is very important.
Hi, Jerry.
What do you have?
So I think I've got a question that you might find interesting. My wife and I bought a new home roughly 18 months ago, and from the outset, we've had concerns over some issues associated with the grading for the development. Not a warranty item on our home, but the influence of surface water runoff on our home from other parcels. We explored this with the municipality, and ultimately, they bought into the assertion we made that, in fact, what was done was in violation of standards. I then approached the builder and said, hey, we got a problem here. We can fix this pretty easy. It's about a $15,000 bill to fix it. So what do we want to do, boys and girls? We want to engage legal support here, or are we going to make this easy? At the end of the day, for 4.5-5 months, they've just dragging their feet, no action. So I thought, well, we'll see what we can do here. So I bought decals, put them on the back of the car, and it said basically legal action versus company XYZ at ABC Development. And then I put for information contact legal action at XYZABC@gmail.com. Well, that got their attention, and within a day I had a letter from an attorney who said cease and desist, and oh yeah, we do want to settle it. But then once we removed the vehicle from being parked in front of their sales office, all of a sudden the trail got cold again. So my question is really, is there any liability in not making anything more than a statement of that, having it affixed to your vehicle and parking it on a public street?
Right. No, it's free speech. You're not accusing them of anything that would hurt their reputation. You're advertising, or you're, you know, advertising is free speech, as long as you're not saying something that's illegal or defamatory, and you're on the public street. So I think that there's no actionability there. The cease and desist letter I'd, you know, keep for your new lawyer. But as far as the action goes on the grading, I've had cases like this before in subdivisions. The problem those people had is they waited too long. They had a statute of limitations problem. You don't seem to. It's been only 18 months. Now, do you live in Missouri or Illinois?
Missouri.
Okay. Probably that's good, because if there's a nuisance action or something like that, you'd have a five-year statute. In Illinois, you'd be running up against it because you'd only have 6 months left to file. In addition to whatever your sort of protest campaign with your car, have you spoken to a real estate lawyer about the damages that could be caused to your property and what action you can take against the company?
I've had a general consultation. I haven't retained an attorney. Frankly, you know, it's one of those things. I just want the remedy. I don't want to be punitive, and I understand that I probably have a basis to secure more than just what the corrective action would require.
Good. Jerry, just like we said, when I said earlier, pro se, that word has a definition to it. So does punitive. You're not going to get punitive damages. The only thing you'd be getting is remedial damages, and I don't even know if you'd be able to get attorney's fees out of this kind of nuisance action. But if you don't do something, and here's another definition, if you don't mitigate your damages, if you don't do something proactive, like have a lawyer send them a letter, hey, can we fix this? If you don't take it upon yourself to try and get a bid to grade it to see what the damages would be, if indeed this runoff causes damage to your property, even if it's their fault, you're going to have a problem collecting that, because since whenever it is that you discovered this in the last 18 months, the clock has been ticking on you, not just on statute of limitations, but also on correcting something. And I admire and like your free speech right. I love it. I think it's fantastic. But you got to do the other thing, too. You got to talk to somebody that does this for a living and says, how much is it going to take for me to make them stop? Or it's just never going to stop.
I thought it was hilarious because I parked that car right in front of the sales office, went in and introduced myself to the sales team and said, that's my car, here's my card, and I'm sure we'll be talking. And, boy, that got their action. And, I'd rather settle it and settle it for a portion of what it's going to take than have to go through, as you say, if I have challenges and I can't recover legal fees.
Right. But it's not settled. This is the thing. You got their attention. And now it looks like they're calling your bluff. So it's time to put your reaction to their reaction into play. I'm not saying, hey, call me, I'll do it, this and that. Find a real estate lawyer that knows these kinds of things and get on it. And if you need anybody, I got some people. But don't let this go, because you could end up with a very bad problem to the value of your house that isn't funny later.
Jerry, do you know or do you need Scott's email address?
I will drop him a note at lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
That's it.
God bless the First Amendment.
Yeah, Jerry, good luck.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you for listening. And you know how this works. There's now, right now, as of right now, one line open. 314-821-0590. 855-282-8255. Dan is up next. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
My favorite guy. Never gets old. Scott, Dan said hello.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I am good, and I am proudly AM in the PM.
What's up?
Got a question about a divorce in Illinois.
Yes, sir.
A young lady I know went off, got married to a fella in Florida. Had a baby after they were married. He sent her back home to Illinois. She's filed for divorce. It's been a year and a half. He went the first 6 months pro se, and then he hired a lawyer, and now he hasn't called the lawyer in 8 or 9 months. because he doesn't want to spend the money, and this thing's gone on for a year and a half. What are the options they have in Illinois to get him to do something or to go around him, or what's your idea?
What is this young lady your daughter or related to you?
Yes, she is.
Okay. That's what I thought. Where's the baby?
In Illinois with her.
So he doesn't want anything to do with the baby?
No, he wants to come visit. He doesn't want anything to do with her, but he wants to come see him.
And they are divorced.
Which is also annoying. They are not divorced yet because it's taken a year and a half. And it's just, you know, hearings and hearings. And
that's the way that works.
And this pandemic hasn't helped.
All right. Scott, what do you think?
Moving along.
Dan, is the young lady, does she have counsel? Does she have a lawyer?
Yes.
And is it one of the counties around here? You have to tell me which one. Is that lawyer a lawyer that's offices in the same county as the case is set?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
I would put it on the get on her lawyer to get this fool, the pro se fool, held in contempt for not proceeding with the case. I don't have a lawyer and this and that. These are excuses that only go for so long. And this child needs to know, even if the child's too young to know, what the rights and obligations of the father are. And so does your daughter. And this, she needs to move on with her life. So year and a half is too long to be screwing around with this. And now that the courts are open, and is the court in that county open for business now?
Yes, they are now.
Okay. I would be on the phone tomorrow morning with the lawyer for your daughter. And I'd ask for a Zoom meeting or something and say, okay, time's up. Let's go forward with this. I don't care if he's got a lawyer or not. He's been dragging his feet, and this is not fair to the child. This is not fair to the woman, and it's not fair to the system because this is ridiculous.
Does he pay child support?
No, he's done a little bit voluntarily lately. let me throw a little curve in this. Is that he filled out, of course, the financial forms, and they don't line up with his taxes, and so they've asked him for more financial information, and I think that's part of why he's staying away.
And if there's an order for that, and that's contempt time. It's time to start making motions. I don't want to tell this lawyer how to do this, because I hate family. I mean, I love the people that are going through it, but man, it's just ugly. But now it's time for sanctionable activity, for failure to prosecute, failure to abide by court orders, full court press, and let's get this done. Because, quite frankly, your daughter could, her whole life is on hold. He's manipulating her completely. She can't marry someone else or really date someone else without being criticized for it. Nobody knows what the child support, the visitation schedule is going to be, how much money there's going to be, what school, all of this stuff. And a year and a half is just too long, even with COVID. It's just too long, and it seems like a foot-dragging exercise by the pro se defendant.
Wow, the pro se, we've used it four times today. We just learned it.
I mean, it's like the rubber chicken is going to fall, like from the Groucho show.
Hey, now I can remember because I've used it over and over again.
Very good.
And one more twist to that. If they hold him in contempt, he's in Florida. What is that? I mean...
Well, it could do a lot of things. It could move things along like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to strike his pleadings. We're going to give her everything she wants. Oh, yeah, and then we're going to order him to pay this amount of child support and this amount of her attorney's fees. We're just going to do that, and you, Mr. Florida pro se guy, you're too bad, so sad for you.
Okay.
All right. But that's all discussion that needs to be done in her lawyer or with her lawyer tomorrow.
Okay. I will push her that direction. And I thank you for your good advice.
Dan, thank you. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Holy cow. Hold on. Why did they say frog in your throat? Where did that come from?
I'll look it up.
Whatever that is, a frog thing. Ah, there you go. Okay.
Maybe it's because of...
It could be.
Can I sneak one into Scott?
Sure, sure.
So... It has come to my attention, Scott, that St. Louis County courts are starting to hear eviction proceedings and things that they weren't hearing during the whole stay-at-home order.
Mm-hmm.
And each court order now where they are assigning a court date for evictions, probation violations, domestic assault cases, all kinds of different civil matters. Each case is getting its own Zoom password and Zoom, it's the same call number, but a Zoom password. And they are they holding every hearing in the courthouse by Zoom right now? Because I was down there the other day to serve some papers, and I couldn't, it was like a, Clayton was like a ghost town. I could have parked anywhere. Is that the new normal? And how
I'm so glad you brought that up. Everything except ex parte, the order protection things and order protection hearings. It is a mess. And here's the thing. I love the people in St. Louis County, and they have screwed this up so bad that the judges, it's up to each individual judge. They haven't taken into consideration that people don't even know what Zoom is or have access to the internet. Right. They're like, well, I'm getting evicted. I don't have internet. I don't have money for my rent. Oh, so they had to tear that whole program down. And each judge has their own different sort of set of circumstances on what they're going to do. You are right. It is sort of in theory going to be everyone has their own Zoom, and in practice they are about ready to have the whole thing implode on them because they never thought through that. Oh, you mean not everybody has a smartphone?
Right. Well, they have call-in numbers as well, where you can just call in on a phone. They figure everybody has a phone, so each case is getting a Zoom meeting ID with a password or a call-in number.
My people that do these bulk docket things in the associate court, where all of this action is the landlord tenant stuff, the you didn't pay your car note stuff, the credit card stuff. It is a disaster, and it's not the judge's fault, but they have a piecemeal and, quite frankly, terrible system set up right now.
Here's my problem with this whole setup. Let's say somebody is involved in a case and they know that the other person isn't going to show up in court or not participate in the Zoom meeting. They could have somebody fraudulently call in on the call-in number. How do you verify that person's identity?
And
then they could give testimony that could, you know, increase damage to somebody in a lawsuit or an aggravating factor, something like that. It just breathes of fraud.
Yeah. Frank, here's how bad it is. 2 weeks ago, St. Louis County said, we're not issuing summonses anymore. We don't even want people to be served with these things. That's how bad this is
I have a question. Could you have a jury trial? Oh, shoot. Could you have a jury trial with Zoom?
I got a guy who's in my office building, is in on my floor right next to me, who's had three trials via Zoom. Two of them were with a judge, and one of them was with a jury.
So they had a jury trial on a laptop?
They had a jury trial on Zoom. And you talk about ripe for fraud. It's going to look like the Progressive commercial.
I don't think that's fair to the defendant.
I don't either.
It's not fair to anyone. I mean, the guy was telling me, and he's a very good lawyer, that one of the witnesses was pretending that she couldn't hear him. You know,
I'm with Tim. Everything about it, disaster.
Yeah, it was like. Have you seen the Progressive commercial where they try to have that meeting, that flow? Yeah. It was like he said it was like that. What? Huh? What? And then they don't know. And then you've got people, and a fair amount of people that have no idea how this technology is supposed to work. They don't have streaming at home. They don't have a smartphone. They don't have a computer. That is a complete. You talk about institutional bias.
Yeah, but
you can't.
Even if they did.
Yeah.
There's something about the presence of the people in a courtroom.
Yes.
And the jury being able to see every bit of their demeanor, their gesture, their body language. All that's missing.
Yes.
That's all out the window.
And my other problem with it is, I live in Eureka. I have AT&T U-verse with wireless. During the stay-at-home order, I had a Zoom cigar session with my brother and brother-in-law and nephews, and we sat around and smoked cigars on our respective porches and had a conversation. I had this very laptop I have here in front of me, and it glitched out in the middle of the meeting.
Right.
And I had to, like, you know, go reset my router. What happens if I'm in the middle of a court hearing?
And it will happen.
And how much patience is that judge going to have with me to connect back into the case before he says guilty or thrown out? And now
this method of doing it has affected the judge's mood.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah.
When you said they have trial by jury on somebody's laptops, wow, that... I'd ask for another trial. I'd appeal that.
I mean, the defendant has a right to make eye contact with the jury. I mean, how do you do that?
Body language.
It goes right to the due process clause of the 5th and the 14th Amendment.
We got to jump back on. This is Vince. Vince, sorry, thank you for your patience. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Mr. Sherman, AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hi, Vince.
Good deal. Hey, Scott. Hey, question. You've guided me through the chaos before. Here's the deal. I got a COVID layoff on March 20th from my employer that's an out-of-town employer in Cleveland. They now are holding me to my non-compete, and Mr. Opinion thinks that's hogwash, but the attorney that you put me on to said it's a squishy thing. It's squishy. So the reason that's prompting the call is they are now advertising on Indeed.com for, quote, junior sales reps for way less than half of what I was making. And I'm not the only case. I got another guy over there that got laid off, too. They have not offered us any positions back. The question is this fraught for a possible age discrimination case? I didn't tell you. I'm 56 years old. The other guy's older, too. Is there anything to that with the proof of having that ad now that they're looking for reps?
Did you have a contract at work? Were you working under contract?
I had a non-compete contract for 2 years, and they're still trying. They're trying to tell me that Vince is open to pursue employment opportunities subject to our approval.
No.
In other words, I'm supposed to go to them
and
bow my knee.
Yeah. Right here, I'll turn it over to Scott, but let me tell you something. I'm not a big fan of non-competes, and most of them, when you fight them, you win. And 2 years is ridiculous here, Scott.
I think that by them having a clause in the contract that said subject to your approval, is it subject to their approval or Vince's approval?
Their approval.
Their approval.
Okay.
No, that's just now. This is since I've been let go.
Okay. They're looking for new people to replace you.
Yeah, I have proof on Indeed.com. Right.
In your contract with them, whose approval is the subject to? Subject to Vince's approval or the employer's approval?
Oh, no. They have to approve of any employment to see if it's not in conflict with them.
Oh, yeah. I'm still of the position that the non-compete that they have, in these 2 years in different states, sometimes they're okay.
But his question is an age
Indiana's okay.
Question.
Huh?
His question is an age discrimination question. The non-compete,
right.
You know, his lawyer's already addressed it. He's asking, is he applicable for an age discrimination lawsuit because they're hiring junior people to take over his job?
It's possible. We were on the phone about discrimination cases today for like 3 hours, and what I gathered out of them and want to make clear is they are much more difficult since 2017 in Missouri to win than they were before that. And the reason is that they changed the law into almost in a motivational discrimination. So if their intent, but it's hidden, was to get rid of the old people, and they don't write an email about it, and they come up with some cockamamie reason, but the real reason is age, you're going to lose. But if they're dumb enough to send emails like, hey, Vince has had a birthday, he's 54, let's get rid of him because he's old, like in Logan's Run, like your hand would blink and then it would stop and they'd kill you, then you can get him. So to the answer to the question in a lawyerly way, it's possible that they're just trying to get rid of the people that are older. But maybe they're trying to get people that are more expensive. And the more expensive people that tend to be older and more experienced, that's legit, but based on age, it's not. So possibly, yeah, I got somebody that does that stuff that I'd like you to talk to if you want. But I would say it's worth looking into, but it's a lot harder the last 3 years on discrimination than it was before that in this state.
Okay, one follow-up, Scott. What about a little poker game where I say, you release me, I don't pursue anything?
Don't do that yourself. But that's a great way.
He's a lawyer.
Yes,
he's
no,
a
that's lawyer. A negotiations are great. You've got it, and this is for everyone. If you're pro se, here, it's our word for the day, you could be in trouble where they say that's extortion, but if you use a lawyer and this doesn't seem fair, that's a negotiation. So that great approach, you got to make sure that you have a representative doing it for you, not pro se.
Oh, yeah, I've got that fellow Josh. He's excellent. You put me on to him. We're working through it.
Bang the, this just can't, ring the bell with him again. He's a great employment lawyer.
Okay. All right. Vince.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Vince, and I appreciate that Vince just scooted right along and opened up a phone line, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Russ, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Mr. Sherman. How are you?
Great. How are you, Russ?
AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Well, I've got a question. I have a cabin at Lake of the Ozarks, and I have a well shared with my neighbor. The well is on my property, but the power to the well is coming off my neighbor's property. So I'm looking for what I would need documentation-wise if he tries to sell that house as far as water rights. There's been some issues with some houses in the subdivision that are on a shared well, and they've had some issues actually getting the places closed because of the water. Is there some kind of document that I could create or that would explain how this has all worked?
I've never heard of a deal where somebody else has the power for your well.
When the houses were built, they were built by two brothers.
Ah.
Back in 85, I think it was. So the well itself, the physical well, is just on my property line, but the power goes to the other house.
Right, we're a little short on time. Scott, go right ahead.
You know, these riparian rights, there's another one, Frank. These water right cases are very frustrating. But we live in a part of the world where if you can grab the water, as long as you're not changing the natural flow of it, including drilling down to get it, you can have it. Just to be safe, because if you do sell it, I would have some provision in there, some sort of disclosure that the power is on the other one and that this pump is on your land, so that the people that are going to buy it would know. I don't know why the power can't also be put to your property.
That was my question. Is Russ, have you checked into what it would cost? It couldn't be that much. The pump is already under the ground and there's a power line.
Well, the pump supplies power to both houses. Right now, I give my neighbor about $100 a year to cover the water for my house.
Okay, but why couldn't the power be run for you to control it?
I think he owes you the money. Yeah, you could put the electric in.
You're the one with the well.
You're the one with the power. You're the one, not with the actual power. You're the one with the leverage.
Right.
Because
right.
He's going to have to dig a well, and all you'd have to do is call an electrician.
Yeah.
And it seems a lot easier for you than him. Now, if you shut him out...
I don't really have an issue with sharing the well.
Okay.
It's just that I need some kind of, because I've had the house 15 years, and I've always just...
It's almost like an easement, because he's going to have as much right to drill down and pump into the water source to get water as you do, as long as he doesn't change the natural flow of it. I think that what you should do is maybe have a real estate lawyer down there drop an agreement that gives a lease or a license or some perpetuity use for that power to that well, and vice versa, that would run with the land if you want to be nice and have it continue. But if he shut your power off, you could call an electrician and get water. If you if you cut the power off, he'd have to dig a well. So I'd say real estate lawyer down in what county you're in?
Camden
County, yeah. Call a real estate lawyer in Camden County. I'll bet this issue has come up before. And if you need somebody, I know a really good lawyer that's in Camdenton. I mean, he's as good as they get, and I can give you his information.
Okay, I got your email.
All right. Thank you, Russ.
Thank you.
Well, that's a weird deal.
Yeah.
You got a well, but the other guy controls the electricity to pump the well.
Wouldn't you rather have the well?
I'd get an electrician to come out and wire it so that I got a control on, off, water, no water, not just the other guy. All right, I know we can get at least one and maybe two. Let's go to Sam. Sam, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. Hi, gang.
Sam. Hi, Sam.
I'm AM in the PA.
Thank you. What's up?
Scott, I emailed you poll a few weeks back with this question. I'm a resident over in Madison County, and there has been some discussion in Madison County about, there's been a couple of streams of discussion, one of Madison County leaving the state and petitioning Missouri to accept us as a county. And I was wondering what the legal, can we just do that as a county, or does the state have to approve that?
Right.
Now, what, you mean leave Illinois and and become a county in Missouri?
Correct.
Well, man, Scott, take it. We only have 4 minutes.
No. As much as I think plaintiff's lawyers would like Madison County to come over to Missouri and be a place where lawsuits could be filed, because it's one of the top five worst, apparently, to the tort reform people. No, it's not leaving Illinois, and states aren't leaving the United States. So these things are, I'd say fool's errands, but what they are is ego trips. You can't go anywhere. The charter of the state of Illinois has its boundaries and political boundaries, and that's the way it is. Now, if the General Assembly up there in Springfield decided that they wanted to kick you guys out, and, you know, maybe the tort reform thing might be, then you could leave. But you can't jettison yourself out of Illinois, and Northern California can't become its own state, and the two Dakotas can't become one state, and Montana can't go to Canada. These things can't happen, either without the government body in the state of Illinois deciding for the counties, or for the Congress to decide that for the states. That's why D.C. is not a state, and that's why Texas is not a country, and that's why Florida isn't three countries. You know, it just can't happen.
Quebec tried to secede from Canada until they realized how much money they weren't going to get from the Canadian government by doing it.
It was very close.
Yep.
Kind of like those people in Seattle that wanted their own little compound.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It sounded good.
And the ones in Seattle, they're going to find out pretty soon that doesn't fly either. So there are certain treaties, like, you know, Indian tribes and stuff like that. They have sort of their own stuff that's, you know, their own. But they're still within the United States. States aren't leaving. Counties aren't leaving states. And whoever's involved that, it's funny. I think it's hysterical. But it's not true. In fact, back about 25 or 30 years ago, Key West tried to secede from the United States. and it was like the Republic of the Conch Shell or something. And if you look that up, it was actually really funny, and it was quite popular. But Key West, for better or good, is still part of Florida, which, for better or good, is still part of the United States.
So the county can't decide on their own that we would rather be part of a different state.
They can decide that they'd rather, but it means nothing.
Okay.
All right, Sam.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, we're in a little bit of a... I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a quick run at this. Dan is next. Dan, I got 90 seconds. Let's see what we can do with it. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. Hi, and I'm a member of the AM and the PM.
Minute 15, go.
It's only going to be a couple seconds. I called you about 3 weeks ago telling you that the cop gave me a ticket sitting on the side of the road for talking on my phone. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, anyway, tomorrow I go to court on that.
He said anyway.
I called the other day to find out where I got to go and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't have me in the computer. The cop never turned the ticket in.
Go anyway.
So I still have to show up.
Yeah, anyway, because you want it dismissed. You do not want it. In case something funky is happening, you can tell the prosecutor, or the state's attorney, as they call it, tell the judge, tell the clerk, get a dismissal. And good job.
Yeah.
And good luck.
All right.
So, all right, thanks.
Hi, Dan. Thank you. You too. Now you can hit him. He's got it.
Anyway.
There you go.
There we go. I didn't want to waste time.
I made this up. I hope it makes sense. Better late than never.
That's good.
Better late than never. I don't know what that is. I ate this kind of candy bar thing, and I think that before I left the house, and that'll teach me never to do that again. Scott Sherman, you've done it again.
Thank you.
One last time, your email address.
LawOfficeofScottSherman@gmail.com.
What do you say? Let's give it up for Scott Sherman,
Thank you,
everybody.
Guys. Thank you, Frank.
And he will be co-hosting Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock, with Dan Strauss, the new, improved, better than ever, better than any other yard sale. Again, 7 to 9 o'clock, right here on 590 The Fan, brought to you by First Community Credit Union. You know what's next after the news. That's right, the Playhouse, 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The House is debating a sweeping police reform bill. Kentucky Democrat John Yarmuth said the legislation is much needed and long overdue. Ohio Republican Anthony Gonzalez argued that any police reform measures should be bipartisan. The Democratic measure includes a ban on police chokeholds and so-called no-knock warrants. House Majority Whip James Clyburn is leaving the door open for compromise.
I do believe